Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. It's good to see you. Is this working? Am I on? No, I'm not on. I am on. That's good. It's the immortal ask of a microphone. Do I work? So we're in Proverbs chapter 1 this evening. We're starting a journey on Sunday evenings going through this ancient book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. Last week, we kind of started to unpick that a bit. We actually went to the end of the book. We saw there this Wonder Woman, this wife of noble character, this wise wife who isn't just there to crush women, but actually is there to personify, both for male and female, for married and unmarried, the wise life. This is what wisdom can take you to, this kind of life. Last week, if you were with us, we kind of saw through Proverbs 1, the first kind of seven verses there, landing on this foundational principle. If you're ever going to live wise, if you're ever going to live God's way in God's world, then it begins verse 7 with the fear of the Lord, putting God in his right place, kind of saying, God, you've got to be God. If I'm ever going to understand this world, I've got to live with you as my God. I've got to live with you and listen to you, and especially I've got to listen to the King that you have given wisdom to. Our greater Solomon, of course, is the Lord Jesus, the King with real wisdom, with eternal wisdom. And so we're going to pick it up. We're going to start listening now to Solomon, and we're going to be learning wisdom from him, living God's way in God's world. Let's pick it up at verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless souls, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder, cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask for his help as we look at this together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the precious gift to us of the scriptures. Scriptures that make us wise, not only for salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but scriptures that make us wise for how to live your way in this world that you have made. Father, please make us wise tonight for this week ahead, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at great expense tonight, I have brought with me a carrot on a stick. Now, any of you, especially if you've grown up watching cartoons, will know that this was always used in cartoons to get a donkey to move where you want it to. You seen that picture? It's not just me, is it? Let me see if I can get this picture up on the screen. Give me a second. It's coming. There we go. Here it is. You seen that picture? Yeah. So you kind of dangle it in front of the donkey, and because a donkey loves a carrot, they kind of go, oh. And then they follow it, entices the donkey, it moves the donkey where you want it to. Now, as an experiment this afternoon, I tested this with my dog, and it turns out that it works with the dog as well, actually. So if you kind of dangle it in front of the dog, I can get my dog to go in any direction that I want it to, simply by dangling the carrot in front of my dog. Partly because you could dangle anything in front of my dog, and I think it would probably chase it. But actually, I want to show you tonight that as we come to the book of Proverbs, as we come back to this classroom of this wise king that God has endowed with wisdom, as we sit down and we listen to him, this carrot and this stick are actually crucial to understanding a lesson that Solomon wants to pass on to us. It's a lesson that we need to learn if we are to be wise as we live in this world this week. It's a lesson that we need to learn if we're ever going to live God's way in God's world. And what is that lesson that we need to learn? Well, this is my paraphrase. Solomon doesn't put it like this, but here it is. Be careful of the carrots. Be careful of the carrots as you go through life. Look with me at verse 10. Listen into what Solomon says to this son. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. You see, the father warns his son that all around him, as this son goes about his everyday life, there are people who will be dangling carrots in front of this son to say, you've got to come this way. Why not move in my direction? Come with me. You see, that's what enticing means, isn't it? To entice somebody is to put something desirable in front of them and to aim to get them to follow that desire, to get them to aim to walk down a path, carrot and stick. And as we listen into Solomon, he's saying that all around us, all around this son, all around us today, are sinful people who are seeking to get us to walk down sinful paths, to follow the carrot and go down the paths that they want us to go down, a path that is against God's way. Now, here's the thing, okay? As you read verse 10, my son, if sinful men entice you, if we've got any sensitivity that the Holy Spirit gives, then we'll be thinking, well, I'm a sinful person. Actually, every single one of us in this room is sinful. We are prone to entice others the wrong way, and we are prone to be enticed the wrong way. But behind the Hebrew here, that the word that says sinful men is this idea of people who habitually, deliberately are seeking to walk the opposite way to what God says, and who are trying to draw others along with them as well. That's what he's talking about when he says sinful men here, when those kind of people entice you. And what was true for the sun thousands of years ago, you've heard that expression, there's nothing new under the sun, that's another Solomon expression. What was true for this sun thousands of years ago is he found himself a young man walking the streets or whatever they did back then, it is equally true for us today. We're going to be surrounded by voices that are trying to entice us. And Solomon, as we sit with this book on our laps, this wise king, I want to say to you tonight, it's like he's eyeballing you personally. And he's saying, my son, my daughter, if sinful people entice you, if they dangle a carrot in front of you and they say, walk this way, don't give in to them. Be careful of the carrots. Now, of course, people aren't literally. It would be quite obvious, wouldn't it, if people were wandering around with carrots on a stick in your middle of your week. You'd spot it quite easy, wouldn't you? But it's not really with a carrot on a stick. They do it with their voices. See, look at verse 11. If they say, if these sinful people say, come along with us, come follow me, it's with their voices that they dangle the carrots. It's with words, isn't it? And the same is true for us. It's with words, it's with adverts, it's with media, it comes on instant messages straight to you, it's with images that we're being bombarded with all the time, it's with peer pressure. All these things, all these voices will be the carrots that are dangling around us, seeking to lure us, entice us to walk down paths that God says we should never walk down. And look with me again at verse 10, you see. The father says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. When the carrot is dangling, do not give in to these voices. Why? Well, because their path leads to death. That's the danger. Look at verse 18 and 19. I know we're leaping around a bit, but I want you to see kind of the flow of what he's saying here. Verse 18, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. This isn't a dad just being a bit grumpy about wanting their child to be well-behaved. This is a dad pleading with his son not to walk down a path that's going to end in ruin and destruction. See, look at verse 18 again. It's a path that leads to self-destruction. If you follow the carrots, if you get lured down a path doing what God says is wrong, then where does it lead? Well, self-destruction. And again, the language in verse 19 is so strong, isn't it? Such is the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Don't give in to the voices. Be careful of the carrots that are dangling around us all the time, the voices that are luring us away. Be wise about who you listen to. Be careful about who you choose to follow. But I guess that raises a question, doesn't it, for some of us tonight? If I'm going to go about this week, how do I spot a carrot? Now, it's pretty obvious if we're talking about an actual carrot, but how do I spot a carrot, an enticing voice that's trying to lure me down the wrong path? Well, thankfully, Solomon kind of spells it out for us. I want to show you three things. How do you go about spotting a carrot this week? Something that's trying to lure you down the wrong path. Here's the first thing that Solomon shows us. A carrot will always appeal to your desires. A carrot will always get you from the heart out. So let me ask you a question. Let's do a quick experiment. So we're going to do crisps or chocolate, okay? So which is your preference? If I say crisps, put your hand up. Okay, very small number. If I say chocolate, put your hand up. Okay, so there's an overwhelming number of chocolate. Okay, look, here's the deal. For the crisp people, okay, so imagine that the crisp people in this room have decided that they've eaten too many crisps and they want to go on a diet, okay? Now, if I walked in and I had on my stick not crisps but chocolate, and I was trying to say to the crisp people, come on, just a little bit of chocolate. It won't hurt you. Now, to someone who loves crisps, they're a bit like, well, it's okay. I don't really like chocolate very much. I can leave it. It doesn't really work, does it? I'm not appealing to their desires. But if I bring in a stick with some crisps on it, and I say to the crisp people in this room, oh, you know, come, just have, I'll open the bag, and you get that kind of opening bag. Oh, and they're drooling, and I've gone for their desires, haven't I? I've hit them on the things they love, and it becomes harder to say no. And friends, we have got to understand that when the devil, when voices are trying to lure us down a path, it will go straight for your desires, straight for the things that get your heart, straight for the things that you want. See, it's the same for a donkey and a carrot, isn't it? Why dangle a carrot in front of a donkey? Presumably because donkeys love carrots. It goes for their desires. It goes for the things they love. See, a misleading voice, a voice that's trying to lure you somewhere, will always appeal to your desires, to our sinful desires. It will get us from the inside. Just look at verse 13. You see, we're going to come back to this verse a number of times, but this is what these voices are saying. They're promising something. They're going right for the heart. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. You see, what's the desire that it's going for here? It's the desire for stuff. It's the desire for wealth. It's the desire to have things. But we could go on, couldn't we? There's so many strong desires the voices will appeal to. And friends, we've got to understand that if you're going to spot carrots this week that are trying to lure you, it's going to go for your heart, because that's where sin starts. It starts in the heart. That's where actions flow from. That is where your feet get moved from, is your heart. See, James speaks of this, the apostle, in his letter. Let me just read it, just so we can hear this process. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. You see, sin is birthed out of desire. Going the wrong way is birthed out of your desires, the things that these voices are trying to appeal to. And you see, tonight, I want to say to you that if your desires, your sinful desires, are being stirred for something wrong, then maybe we're listening to the wrong voices. Perhaps it's being stirred for that wrong relationship. Perhaps it's being stirred for that wrong ambition in life. if my sinful desires are pulling me somewhere, if it's welling up inside me, then maybe I need to stop watching certain TV or stop browsing too much of the internet or stop reading certain books or stop hanging around with certain people, because it's those voices that are stirring my desires. A carrot will always hit you where you have a desire. See, it's why in verse 10, Solomon says, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." See, that's the kind of language you use with a temptation in a diet, isn't it? You know, don't give in to the temptation. I know there's these cakes here and you're not supposed to eat them, but don't give in. And that's the point, you see. It's a desire. And Solomon says to his son, don't give in to it. See, if you're going to spot a carrot this week, you've got to understand that will always go for your heart. It will always go for your desires. Second, Solomon shows us that it will always break God's instructions. If someone dangles a carrot in front of you and you want to say, is this a good carrot or is this a bad carrot? Well, probe it. Ask it. Where does it go? What is it asking me to do? See, look at verse 11 and 12. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pits. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Now, you see, we may read that and we may think, are you for real, Nathan? You know, is this really where Solomon starts? Are most of us in this room going to join gangs that lie in wait for people and murder them? And most of us would say, oh, that's just a bit extreme, isn't it? Solomon's just being a bit worried about his son getting caught up in some stuff. But actually, aren't we often, if you stop to listen to these words, aren't we often drawn down paths of stepping on others to get what we want? Because that's all this is. It's stepping on others, squashing others out, so that we get something that we want. Perhaps we put somebody else down so that we look a bit better. That's this kind of attitude. Kids in the playground ganging up on another kid and making their life miserable. That's this kind of behavior. People stealing other people's identities. Even this week, a friend in church was telling me that had happened to them. You know, that's this lying in wait and trying to plunder stuff. This goes on. When we gossip about others, isn't it this kind of behavior? Sure, we're not actually going to get a knife out and kill somebody and lie in wait for their blood, but we are quick, aren't we, to step on others to get the things we want? And all these things, all these kind of behaviors, what are they doing? They're just lying in wait to swallow other things up, to swallow others up. And I think what we see happening here in these words, you know, let's lie in wait, I think we see it at a national level as well, don't we? You know, at its heart, that's what all the recent terrorism has been about. Terrorism and, you know, this ideology of slaughtering people so that your religion gets established, that's just this kind of thing. We're gonna take up innocent people until our ideal is established. Dare I say it, not to be political, but isn't it what we're seeing in our government at the moment? People kind of fighting each other to make sure that their thing happens. This is everywhere. You see, we need to give time to weigh the voice that is trying to lure us somewhere and say, where does this take me? What is this going to cause me to do? See, a carrot will always break God's instructions somewhere along the line. A carrot will always involve breaking his laws as he spells them out for us. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. Somewhere along the line, when a carrot entices you, you will cross a line and you will do the things that God has told us is wrong. And I want to say that in general, that will be the experience of a carrot dangling before you. And it will generally come at the expense of others. Their life, their reputation, their possessions. You still with me? How do you spot a carrot? Well, it'll be always appealing to your desires. It's going to go straight for your heart. It's always going to break God's instruction. If you listen carefully, if you listen to the voice and where it's taking you, it will always involve breaking God's law. And here's the third thing that Solomon wants us to see. A carrot will always promise you much, but will deliver very little. See, just look at the promises that are made again in verse 13. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Now, in this instance, in this example he's giving the son, it's the promise of valuable things. It's the promise of getting rich with minimum effort. I mean, who doesn't want that? That's why you buy a lottery ticket, some people, isn't it? You want to get rich by doing nothing. But look at verse 14. What else does it involve? Well, verse 14, cast lots with us and we will all share the loot. You see, you're set to gain something. A carrot promises you, you say, if you follow this carrot, you're going to have big prize at the end. There'll be something in it for you, something you really want. Perhaps I think it's more subtle in this thing, but it's more than just stuff here. Because here is a promise, I think, of friendship. It's a promise of belonging to this son. Throw your lot in with us. We'll share it together. Come on, you'll belong to something. Let's do this together. You see, a carrot is trying to draw us down a path that will promise you much. Appeal to the things that you want. It might promise fitting in. You know, how many times at school, perhaps, or in our workplace, do we think, well, if we just do this, we'll fit in and we won't stand out? And it promises you just not being different. It might promise getting a better place at work. You know, if you cut that corner or you talk against this person, and eventually you see you might climb the ladder, and it promises you something. It might promise that feeling of satisfaction if I can get even with someone. Be wise. You will always be promised much with a carrot, but it will deliver little. And so, friends, I want to say, how do you spot a carrot? As we go about our week, and as carrots are dangled around us all the time, how are you going to spot it? Well, it will go straight for your affections. It will go straight for your desires. Eventually, it will cause you to cross a line and break God's laws, and it will always promise you much, promise you big gains. But actually, it delivers very little. And so look again at verse 15, will you? My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. We've got to be wise. Be careful of the carrots. Be careful who we listen to. Be careful who we choose to follow. As Paul reminds the church in Corinth, he says these words, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's a path that will end in death. And as I've listened into these words this week, it's caused me to reflect a lot on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is one who personifies wisdom. He embodies wisdom. If it's not rude, he is wisdom on legs. He's wisdom walking around. And he does what the Father says here. You see, think about Jesus' temptations with the devil. See, what happened on those occasions, if you know that story in the Bible? In effect, Satan got a carrot out and he dangled it before the Lord Jesus. He was hungry. He went straight for his desires, straight for the thing that he needed right there. And he dangles a carrot and he says, come on, just turn those stones into bread. He went straight for it. And what did Jesus do? Well, he said no. He wouldn't test God. He turned away from Satan. And then, you know, Satan promises, and he dangles another carrot. Look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And yet you don't have to go to the cross for it, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross to get to that route. No, you just have to worship me, the devil said. What an easy route. Promised him so much. It dangled a carrot before him. But what did Jesus do? He said no. He did not set foot on their path, the devil's path. Or think of the occasion in John's gospel when this crowd sees a miracle of Jesus and they run up to him and they dangle the carrot. Jesus, we can make you king by force. You know, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to follow that path. No, come on, Jesus. And they dangled a carrot before him. And what did Jesus do? He slipped away from the crowd because he would not set foot on a path that was wrong. When Peter, having been told about the cross, says to Jesus, Jesus, I'm not sure about this cross thing. It doesn't sound like quite a good plan. What did Jesus do? He turned round and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. The carrot was dangled. The easy path was there. You know, every desire would probably have been hit of Jesus. I mean, you've got to understand, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross as much as we think he might not. He went because he loves us. It appeals to his desires. It appeals to his humanity. But he said, no, I'm going to walk the way of my Father. I'm going to follow his instructions. See, Jesus was very careful. Jesus was not lured in, enticed in by the carrots that were dangled before him. And friends, he is our helper this week. Be careful of the carrots that are dangled before us. Be careful of the voices that say, come, follow me. And instead, what are we to do if we're to be careful of the carrots? Well, Solomon says this, keep with the king. Be careful of the carrots, keep with the king. Just have a look with me, were you at verse 8? See, this is where it starts. This is Solomon speaking. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, in some ways, if you're hearing what Solomon's saying to the son here, what's he saying? He's saying to the son, come, follow me. In some ways, it's no different to the other voice in verse 10, 11, is it? The father's saying, come follow me. Come follow my instructions. Stick with these. Don't leave this path. In other words, what is he saying to his son? Keep with the king. Keep with Solomon. Because that's the father that's speaking. Solomon is the wise king with wise words. The king that God, as we saw last week, had endowed with wisdom beyond anybody else. People were coming from all over the world to listen to this king's wisdom. He's the king who can help us to live God's way in God's world. And he is the king who says, be careful of those other voices. Be careful of the carrots. Stick with me. Stick with my instruction. And friends, as we come to this book of Proverbs, as we come as followers of our Lord Jesus, it leads us to him. See, Jesus is our king. Jesus is the one wiser than Solomon. Jesus is the king that has been endowed with wisdom. And he is the one who calls us to come follow him. And the question for us is, with all these carrots that are dangled around us, all these voices that are trying to lure us away down sinful paths, will we listen to Jesus? Will we keep listening to Jesus? Will we listen to his instruction? Will we listen to his voice above the voices of the world around us? You see, he makes us wise for how to do life every day. Wherever you are, at school or at work or at home or wherever you're mingling, it's Jesus the King whose instructions make us wise. And he is the King. He is the King who says, come, follow me. He called to his disciples. He walked along the seashore and he said, come follow me. He called to the crowds as he taught and he says, come follow me. He called to many of us in this room, hasn't he? And he said to us, come follow me. Maybe even tonight he's saying, come follow me. And what is he asking us to follow him to? Well, that's the key question to ask of a carrot, isn't it? He's calling us not to unjust gain. He's not calling us to wait, lie in wait for others, to be mean to others. He's not calling us to empty promises. But he calls us to follow him, the one who, in love for us, let others lie in wait for his innocent blood. He's calling us to follow him who was taken away for unjust gain. He was calling us to follow him, the one who never set foot on the path of someone who enticed him away. And he did it. He died. He was taken away so that we could be forgiven for following carrot after carrot in our life, which is who we are, isn't it? That we might be forgiven and restored to Jesus, restored to our God, and that we might walk his paths. This Jesus says to us this evening, come, follow me. Keep with the King. Keep with his instructions. Why? Well, look at verse 9. We're going to finish here. They are a garland. If you follow Jesus' instructions, they are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. See, if you follow Jesus' instructions, it will make you beautiful. Now, that some of you may misinterpret that, but this is genuinely the picture. a garland to grace your neck. It will make your life beautiful in its truest sense if you follow the instructions of Jesus. And it will make your life victorious. That's the second image, this idea of a chain to adorn your neck. If you follow Jesus' instructions, it's life, it's victory, it's beauty. Keep with the King, because it's the winning team. It's the wise team. And so as we head out, friends, into this week, if we are going to learn to live the wise life, if we're going to learn to live God's way in God's world, then we've got to be careful of the carrots. We've got to be careful of all the carrots that will be dangling around us in the world, enticing us in, drawing us in. Be careful who we follow. Be careful who we listen to. And instead, we must keep with the King. We must keep with the one who says, "Follow me." Can I ask you tonight, have you followed him? Are you following him? Will you follow him this week? Maybe for some of us here tonight, there are perhaps voices that we're really struggling tonight to say no to. Carrots that are dangling, and we're so tempted to be drawn down a path this week. If that's a struggle for you tonight, come talk to one of us afterwards. Come find one of the elders. Come find someone you're with and say, "I need to pray about this because there's a voice, there's a carrot that I'm so tempted to follow." And let's pray about sticking with the King, keeping with his instructions, keeping with his voice amongst the many voices that are around us. Friends, let's pray together and then we'll sing a song. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, the one wiser than Solomon. Father, we thank you that he calls us to come follow him and to stick with his instructions. And we ask, please, Heavenly Father, that you would give us all help and grace this week that is needed to not give in to the voices that are around us. The voices that want us to follow paths that we should never tread on. Father, please help us to say no to sin. Help us to say no to doing things that step on others to gain things we want. Father, please help us to say no to indulging in things that hurt others. Oh, Father, please, would you help us not to be enticed by the wrong voices this week. And Father, we pray for forgiveness, particularly for times where we have been enticed, where we have followed wrong paths. Thank you that in Jesus there's forgiveness. Thank you that we can run back to him, our wise King, and find salvation and hope and help. And Father, we're seeking Jesus' help this week. Father, particularly pray for some of our young people here. Father, please would you help them as they seek to live out their lives following King Jesus. Help them not to be enticed by the many voices that are around them. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.